You
gotta get it out.
What? Think
I
make you wait 30 seconds?
I was probably bumping ugly.
Well, you were a fullback, so half of it is right.
You doing push-ups in the bathroom or what?
You gotta put your feet on the toilet. That's how you make it harder.
Pilot number 20.
The pilot show number 20. This is the Walter and Fawn show. How's it going, Fawns?
What's up, man? You got me on during the week here. What's going on?
This is I'm doing a little getaway this weekend. So we're trying to get an early show in. But we do have the honor of having a special guest that can make it around this time. So
it worked out perfect.
It worked out great. Good. And we got some midweek Long Beach Pizza Co. pizza.
I'm glad your gas was out, man. You got me some pizza.
Well,
love that place.
Welcome to show number 20, the pilot. We got an awesome show lined up. We got a very special guest. We got an HOF in the house. Yeah, HOF. We have Humboldt State University Hall of Fame in three sports, lettered in three sports.
The Jacks.
And now this show, I want to call it the Enforcement Show, because honestly, I think you're the biggest dude on this show ever. 6'3", 240 pounds, and that's because you're on the low carb diet, right?
Yeah, I wish I was 240.
Well, six a lot, 200 and swole pounds. Rodney Dickerson, how are you, man?
I'm good. Blessed to be here. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Looking forward to a good show.
Well, welcome to the show, man. I'm really excited to having you on because, man, you've done a lot. You've done a lot in your life. Not only balling dudes up at LA Fitness, but, I mean, you're Hall of Fame at Humboldt State. You recently got that awarded to you, right?
Yes, last year, September.
Cool. You lettered in three sports.
Yes.
And now you enforce the law.
The law enforcer.
And he has records.
And you have records in track.
Yes.
Right? Or in track. Field, I should
track.
Say.
In track, field, and shot put and discus.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. I can't wait to get into that because I love your story, man. I love what you do. And honestly, you're just a cool-ass dude.
Thank you, man.
I like drinking brews with you.
Man. Oh, yeah. Hey, that's what I do.
And it's the least I can do for drinking out of your kegerator while you weren't at your house.
Hey, it's all right. My keg is your keg.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's,
and not
that's
only that, he brought his own. He brought some. He sponsored the show today.
You did sponsor the show. I'm telling you, Fonz, we're getting sponsored over here.
Yeah.
What'd you bring us today? Rodney?
I brought some Big Daddy IPA.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like it. It's brewed out of San Francisco.
Yeah, that's NorCal, huh? So you're a NorCal dude.
You know, I lived there for 21 years, so call myself, yeah.
So you're not a Lake of the Ozarks dude.
Negative, I'm not.
We'll get into that later. Fonz, what's going on with you?
Oh, man, I'm excited to have a sponsor and Tuesday. I can have my weekend off. I'm ready to rock and roll with this show, man.
Cool, man. I actually want to start something that we didn't go over the notes before the show, but I wanted to talk about Princegram. We had our first experience with Princegram.
Oh,
right?
did you like those?
I love them. So talk about what Princegram is.
Okay, so I take a lot of Instagram pictures and I set them up. Amazing Fonz at Amazing Fonz. So we were trying to come up with some business cards or some ideas, and I ran into this website, an app. It's called Princegram, where it links up all your Instagram pictures, and then you can print them out into cards.
Oh.
So we found these contact cards where we can, on the back of it, we could put the Walter and Fawn show, our phone number, cool. Or an email, and stuff like that. Or if you have your own little logo, you could put it on there. They have like Christmas cards or even a poster with all your Instagram pictures on there. They have a bunch of really cool stuff.
The cool thing, yeah, what I like is that usually, like, your cheapest route is to pick one design, you know? Usually that's what it is, one design, 100 cards or 100 prints and stuff like that. But Princegram lets you do, like, just because it syncs all of your pictures that you've had, it's really cheap. You can literally have 100 different kinds of pictures, and it's kind of it's the same price, right?
Yeah,
is that what
it's
that is?
Exactly.
And
price.
It puts it on one card.
No. It's just one individual card. It's like a little 2x2.
Okay.
It's a little 2x2 with the picture that you took or the picture that you picked, and then with your information on the backside of it.
But you can have 100 different ones. Pictures.
Yeah. Or wow. Or more, because they have like, I wanted to test it out.
Yeah.
So I got 100 for $25.
Printstagram.
And it's dope, dude. I like that. So I wanted to thank you for that. That's pretty creative that you found that. But I also want to be even more creative. What is your phone number for the show? Because it's in the back of that card. Do you want to share with the listeners what your phone number is? Yeah,
you know what I like is that people can leave messages and or we can use it for the show. So, yeah, please call the number. It's 323-ROCK-GOD. It's easy to remember. So it's 323-ROCK-GOD. Leave a message. Call us. We'll use it on the show if we can or if you want us to. Give us some ideas. Shoot us some what's up or whatever, you know?
So 323-ROCK-GOD.
Yeah, that's my number. Awesome.
So only people who have the rotary phone can't call the rock guy.
Yeah.
All right. So I can't call you then.
Okay. So, and if anybody wants to buy it off of me, I'll sell it to you too.
There you go. Because
I don't know
go.
How to play a guitar or
you
anything.
Know what? Frankly, if anyone wants to buy Walter Cortez off of me, like, I'll sell my name. I don't care. I got freaking things to buy.
We need equipment.
Yeah, we need equipment. Dude, so it's been a really cool, awesome 2 weeks. Fonz, you hit up you got fashion. You got all
got
style
culture?
Network on us, man. Yeah, you got culture. Talk about that.
Well, we did a show with Mario De La Torre.
We did a couple of months back.
He's a designer for Rosario, and he's out of LA, Rosario International now. And he had a fashion show at the Style Fashion Week, which is like the LA Fashion Week. Wow. So he hit us up and I got tickets. So I want to go check it out. It was at the LA Live, and I just found out about it like right away. So I didn't get a chance to like go home and change.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you. What do you think in your head, like, dude? That's not something we roll to. Like, what do you think? What am I supposed to wear to this? To like fashion? Like, I mean, what, like you're gonna see a bunch of like. Dude's looking like Prince, like rolling up to these things. Like, what do you think? Like, what do you wear to this?
I mean, like, you could never go wrong with like wearing like a suit and tie, right? Anywhere.
Gotcha.
So I was thinking maybe dress up a little bit, maybe wear some like dress shoes or something, or just like a suit, but with maybe some kicks or something, you know, just to mix it up because it's stylish or whatever. Right. I didn't have any time to do any of that stuff because I didn't know if I was gonna get my tickets or not. So. I just wore a black t-shirt and some jeans and some the checkered Vans that I had, and I just showed up
in classic podcaster attire.
And then I showed up and I had my tickets and I walked in. I met up with some friends over there, Juice and them, and I fit right in. It was amazing. Wow. It was amazing. They were dressed up.
Let me ask you a question. Does walking into that fashion show, did it look like you were walking into the movie The Fifth Element?
They had a red carpet. It felt really weird.
Did it look like a sci-fi movie?
It did.
Like
it
really Hunger did. Games?
Yeah. Everything was mixed up. It was just like you don't know who anybody is. Plus, we don't follow fashion that much, man.
Was it Sprockets? Were they talking in little tiny phones like Sprockets?
Like sit down? Yeah. Yeah. So it was really a trip, man. But I felt so comfortable in that atmosphere. It was just really cool because all these creative people are there, and then just, you know, they don't care about what they're wearing.
Right.
And I show up with a black shirt, jeans, and some checkered-ass Vans, fit right in. Nobody blinked an eye. Nobody called security on me. So I was like, oh, this is awesome, dude. So I was waiting in line to get in, right, to get into the actual, like, where you sit down to watch the runway. The catwalk and all that stuff. And the guys were like, hey, dude, go get a drink. So I'm like, oh, sweet. So I went to the bar real quick. Since I had to get out of work early, I didn't take a lunch. I didn't have lunch. Show up, ask for a double of Jameson.
Ooh. Nice. Free?
So, no. It wasn't
they free. Had a bar, though. They had
a
bar.
Yeah, they had a bar, right? So I show up, and I'm walking. I'm like, all right, I'm going to enjoy this drink, you know, while we're hanging out and stuff. And then we get to the guy that's going to sit us down, and he goes, oh, you have to finish your drink before you go sit down. You can't take the drinks inside. I was like, oh. So I just chucked the double.
Did you on your phone turn on the Walter and Fonz intro song? So fucking down it right for his motivation.
Yeah, man.
So you had to finish your drink before you got into the catwalk. or like the catwalk. It was like a catwalk, like Right Said Fred catwalk.
Yeah, there was
like 1992 Right Said Fred.
Yeah, catwalk. It was legit. Fonzo, 1992.
1992. That's called foreshadowing, Fonzo. I got it. I took that off on the last show because I forgot to go back to it. But maybe this show I'll get to it. All right, so
yeah, Rosario, dude, his stuff is getting like he's blowing up. Mario De La Torre is insane right now with what he's doing, dude.
Is Dice K with Mario as well?
Or yeah.
Are they still a team?
I saw him there. They're still a team. And he did a whole new design from the last time we saw his stuff. So, and he's getting a lot of press from that show that I went to. He knows his stuff, man. He's really, really good. Got some really cool models. I've never thought that I would actually be sitting down watching like a runway show, dude. Yeah, and it's awesome. I could totally go there a lot more. So Mario, that's a hint right there, bro.
So Mario De La Torre, Dice K, and all of Rosario Inc. International, dude. We're very proud of you. I couldn't make it that night, I remember, but I'm glad that you showed up to represent. And you guys are really proud of you, and we wish you guys the best. Yeah, man. You know, a long time ago, I worked, it's called the Moore Convention, and the Moore is a magazine out of New York that, it's like a women's magazine. So I worked it, and, gosh, the name of the model, it'll come to me probably throughout the show, but the name of this model escapes me. But I saw her cause I had to save her seat cause she was going to speak for a movie. And as soon as the name comes back to me, I'll explain it, but that's not the point of who it was. The point of it was that she was like a supermodel, very famous supermodel. And then when I saw her, I was like, oh, wow. There's like a model, like there's like models like aha, stupid skinny girls, whatever. Like you're not really a model. Like
you're just a walking hanger.
You're like a walking hanger. But then when I saw her, I was like, wait, wow. She's like a beautiful woman.
Like and, super.
And in no way is it like, oh, I like her. It was just kind of like. Like there's like this glow, like you know, it's just like this aura. So you're the ones that get like picked, hand picked, and get millions of bucks. You're the ones. You're not the ones on Instagram self model, like whatever.
Model mayhem.
Yeah, yeah. Or like just you know, like your friend is a amateur photographer, and just no, I mean, it was like a for real model. I was just like, wow, you gotta respect. Did you see any of those kind of models?
There was a couple, dude. There was some of them that you know they could walk right, and you know they.
But
you,
like cheekbone, like okay, and this some is what I see.
Some bad complexion.
Like when you
bro.
See a swole Ooh. Dude or a really fit gal, like for me, I'm always like, man, that's mad respect. Like you look dope. Good. I don't care, like. Like you're a dude or a girl, like that's like mad respect. Like, and so when I saw that model, gosh, I can't remember her name, but I was just like, wow, okay, I get it. My bad. Like, you for real, man.
Yeah.
Would you see any of those?
There was maybe like one or two that I was like, damn. It was pretty freaking amazing. I was like, damn, dude. And they were like 6'2", you know, and then short. With platforms or something. Oh, I was like, wow. I'm just 5'9". So I was like, wow, this is I could be around these girls a lot, you know. My girlfriend's like 5 feet tall, so I was like, damn, I gotta look up now, you know. It was a lot of fun, dude.
It was cool.
But I have to thank Mario for it and Hugo for hitting me up and letting me know that what was going on. But yeah, man, I could totally like hang out with those people.
So you know, I feel like Rosario, they got the last spot at the LA Fashion Week last year, and that's coming up now. But this one was called the Style
Fashion Week. Yeah.
And I feel like they weren't the last peeps in. They were part of what made everything happen, right? Like,
yeah,
they're progressing.
Oh yeah, he's going big time. He got written up for like the New York Fashion. Post or whatever, one of the magazines out there, you know, fashion in New York is huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, they like his stuff. And so I saw his stuff up on, he was on the red carpet, his clothing line. Mekhi Phife, that actor.
Mekhi Phifer?
Yeah. Mekhi Phifer, his wife was wearing his clothing on the red carpet for Divergent. Yeah, that new movie coming out. So it was pretty cool to know they saw a picture of it. And
because
I remember seeing that material when we were at his house last time and she was wearing it. So I was like, that's pretty cool, dude.
And you know what? I like that he's a local dude. I'm sure he had burritos at the old Taco Bravo in Lincoln Heights. And he's a cool dude. So good on him. Good on him. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going, Mario and Dice K. Hey, Rodney.
Yes, sir.
You recently went to a Hall of Fame induction, so you had to kind of style up. What do you think of style? What, like, from what you said, Vans, t-shirt, jeans, that's like us dudes that, like, are, we have the faces made for radio.
Yeah.
What's your style? What's your go-to? What's your go-to for the Hall of Fame? Non-jean, what's your go-to?
Man, I actually did wear jeans to the Hall of Fame induction.
You jock.
Yeah. I wore jeans, I wore a nice shirt, a blazer, and some shoes.
Oh, you rocked the blazer.
I rocked the blazer.
How they make blazers for you?
Man, hey.
Like, you had to get a tailor. You just don't walk in and say, can I get a large?
Men's Warehouse.
Yeah, with the beard.
It was good, though. I didn't rock a beard.
No. The dude from Men's Warehouse. Oh, that guy with the beard. Yeah. You're going to love the way you look.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it.
It was good. It was good, though. You know, I didn't try and go overboard. I always try and dress to my wife as well. So, whatever she, I don't want to outdo her.
Oh, smart. Wait,
man.
Does that sound like because you can, but just try not to?
I know sometimes I can outdress her when we go. Because, you know, hey, when you live in Humboldt County, there ain't too many places you can go dressed up.
I got you.
When you down here, you know, hey, you can go just about anywhere dress up. You can dress up or you can dress down. It don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But up there, if you dress up, it's like, where you just come from?
What you doing? You got graduation?
Yeah, where are you coming from? So, you know, up there, you know, you had to dress down all the time.
Yeah.
Birkenstocks and Crocs would be good up there, you know.
That's dressing up.
That's dressing up, you know.
So I take it you're dressed up Humboldt County
this
style.
This is dressed
for
up
us.
Humboldt County style, right?
Yeah,
here.
You got the cargo shorts.
Yeah.
You got the
golfer's jacket.
You got the helmet glasses. You got the Viking glasses.
Hey. I fit in Humboldt County, what I got on right now.
All right. Cool. So you were cool. Mission accomplished. You were at work. You worried about it, but you were like, hey, I'm going.
Made it from Buena Park to LA Live.
Oh, wow.
Fighting traffic and made it on time. It was awesome. Got a little buzz on with the dentist. Check out some tall ass models and this line of work. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
With that, let's go to a freaking music, man. Come on.
All right, let's go to a break.
I reminisce for a spell, or shall I say think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October. A toast, but my granddaddy came sober. Count all the fingers and the toes. Now I suppose you hope the little black boy grows. 18 years younger than my mama. But I really got beatings cause the girl loved drama. In single parenthood, there I stood. By the time she was 21, had another one. This one's a girl.
All right, we're back. Pilot show number 20, Fonz. Rodney Dickerson, our guest for today. He's a Humboldt State Hall of Fame, class of 93, I believe.
Yes.
And you got inducted last year into Humboldt State's Hall of Fame, right? Sports Hall of Fame?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, man. You know what? Someone who should be in the Hall of Fame is Fonzo is May. May Thuzar is a graphic designer who she just finished our logo. I freaking love it. What do you think?
It's freaking pretty amazing. Not just one logo. She went way out of her way and just hooked us up big time.
You know, I'm very excited to put this logo out. I can't wait for us to do it. And we should be doing that sometime in the next, between now and the next show, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for real. So, we'll have something out there.
So May Thuzar, man, thank you very much. And you know what? I have a pretty good idea. We'll have her on the show because she's very talented.
Sweet. Can't wait.
All right, you know we got all sorts of talent here in this room today. I mean, you and I,
pretty talented. Yeah.
And then you and I. Is anyone else? Oh, hey, Rodney, you're pretty talented yourself.
I'm all right. I'm just me. I'm just me.
So, Rodney, we were trying to figure stuff out, and Walter said, "Hey, we're gonna have him on a show." So I was like, "All right, well, let me know a little bit about him." You know, so he told me you're from Missouri.
Yes, Kansas City.
Kansas City, Missouri?
So not from the Ozarks. No Ozarks?
No Ozarks.
It's Lake of the Ozarks is where the hell
man,
is
that's
that?
Like, man, it's in Missouri. Believe me, it's somewhere in Missouri.
Nobody knows where it's at, but it's in there.
It's in there.
You only know if you're there. So we were talking about, I was just looking stuff up, just trying to see, do a little bit of homework, right?
Yeah.
So I've never been there. And I only been into like the West Coast, so their animal is the mule. Their state animal is a mule.
Mule, yeah.
And then like their bird is the blue bird.
Blue jay?
Or blue jay? Okay.
Blue jay.
And then their insect is a honeybee. Everybody, I didn't know they had all that. I don't know what the plant is. Yeah. But like they have a couple of firsts, dude. They have a couple. The first successful parachute jump
was in Missouri.
Was in Missouri.
Dude, was it you?
I didn't even know.
I believe
that.
If it was you.
I didn't even know what
St.
year
Louis,
was
Missouri, 1912.
Oh yeah, I wasn't even born.
So no.
Oh well, then you did it. When you did it, you made it cool.
But you, what I was tripping out on, it's like, all right, like if people were trying to be the first successful parachute jump. There was a lot of failures till we got to St. Louis, Missouri. You know, there's like,
yeah,
it could have been other states, and like, no, we're the first successful parachute jump. So yeah. It's like,
how do you, what who, makes it successful? No broken legs? No broken legs makes it successful?
Land on your feet or something? who determines that?
And then I guess they had one of the World's Fair, so where they created iced tea. They mix tea with ice because they just called it iced tea. And also in that same time, they created the waffle cone. The waffle part of the cone, the waffle cone itself for ice cream.
The shape of it. So not just the regular cone, the waffle.
The waffle cone, yeah. So yeah, you can thank St. Louis, Missouri. So.
Missouri, huh?
Missouri.
And now Kansas City, Missouri. How far is that from Kansas City, Kansas?
It's literally across the river. It depends on where you are. If you're in downtown Kansas City, it's probably like 5 minutes. And it borders. You can be in Kansas from Missouri and like you just cross over the state line.
So
it all depends on how far you live in Kansas City to cross over.
I'm a young little gal with red shoes and I click my heels and I walk over the river and then they say, "Oh, you still in Kansas City, bitch?" You're just in another state.
Yeah, you're just in another state. Okay. It's just Missouri. So now, you clicked your heels. You went to the wrong damn state. You're in Missouri.
And now everyone's in trouble. All right. So Kansas City
it's
is
close.
Right
it's
next.
It's really close. You wouldn't even know you're in Kansas. You wouldn't even know.
I know.
In Kansas,
the straw man tells me, cusses
Kansas.
Me out and tells me, you still Kansas City. Yeah,
you know what Missouri did have is Anheuser-Busch.
Oh yeah,
Budweiser right there, buddy.
Yeah, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. St. Louis. Are you a St. Lunatic, Rodney?
Nah, I'm not. Man. I like some of his music, stuff like that. Little Nelly, you know, but nah.
All right. Because you're humble. You're like listening to Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead, Potluck. Hey, they had a little group up there called Potluck.
They're pretty good, though.
You know, they open for like E-40 and Tech 9 stuff like that. They're pretty
E-40,
good.
E-40. Yeah, that's Northern California. Let's talk about Humboldt.
I mean, I don't blame him for liking Humboldt. He has like all the records and he's in the Hall of Fame. It's like he's a big man on campus over there, man. He's Hall of Fame material.
Hall of Famer, man. Hey, what you got some records in track and field, huh?
Yeah, just two. Just shot put and disc.
Okay, two. I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you on this right now.
Oh, God.
What year did you get your shot put record?
91. It was my first year there. It was my first year there, 91, 92.
According to the Humboldt State University website, it says 93.
They were wrong. Okay. It was my first year in track and field.
So what was the distance?
The distance for which one?
Was shot the record? Put? Yeah, shot put.
It was like 53 feet, 4 inches or something like that.
Close. What you got?
53.7
That's what I got. Now it's 53 feet.
He's being humble about humble.
I get a lot of stuff wrong.
I threw a little ditty, like, you know, a little 20 feet. Yards or something like that. All right. Oh, yeah?
He said, I threw enough.
I threw enough. What was your discus? What year did you break the discus record?
It was the 91-92 season. They always say 93, but it was my first year at Humboldt State. I broke both of those records.
In the same year?
In the same year.
Oh, because they got them on the website. Fonz, do you have discus 1 year before the shot put?
Yeah, I do.
That's 92. What I did too, 92.
The discus, I broke the record. I think that was 172 or 173.
173.2. That's what I got.
73.2, yeah.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah who's counting? You know? Hey, that year I became All American in the discus. So,
sweet. Hey, I call this a disgrace. Humboldt State basketball stopped at the year 2000. Like all the backtrack, like I was trying to backtrack.
And I had a record in basketball.
That's what too. I'm saying, but they stopped at 2000. So record, I couldn't go to 93 on the website.
I had the most, I had a record for the most block shots in the game. It was against Chico State, my senior year, because they didn't believe in football players playing basketball. So I proved them wrong. After my last game, after my last football game, I was out Monday morning practicing with the team.
Oh. You know, hey, so. You know what Chico means in Spanish, right? Small. So you blocked all the small dudes on that team.
Yeah.
State.
So I had five block shots in one game against Chico State.
Damn.
And then later on, I think, I want to say like 2008 or 2006 or something like that, Fred Hooks broke it with eight block shots in a game. So
frick Fred Hooks.
Fred Hooks. He was a good player, though, man.
This is Humboldt, which is by Eureka, right? Eureka?
Yes. Eureka. It's about 5 hours north of San Francisco. You got Eureka, then you got Arcata, where Humboldt State sits, and that's 7 miles north of Eureka.
Oh, okay. And it's the pot-loving capital of the world, right?
Humboldt County, man. They call it the Emerald Triangle. The
Emerald Triangle.
It's nothing but weed.
So like everybody says it's nothing but weed, and it's called the pot loving city, and people grow it. Like how
open is it?
Is it? Oh yeah.
Oh, it's very open. People walk down the street smoking weed,
and like growing people it. Offer, or,
growing it. It's like amazing.
It's just growing like weeds.
It don't grow like weeds. It's how people grow it.
Okay.
You know, people grow it in buildings. They gut houses out. And they grow it in houses. They grow it in their front yard.
Do you think it's because? Is it because of the economy there that they're just trying to like supplement?
They're not trying to stimulate the economy up there. It's because they're allowed so many plants.
Okay.
That they can grow.
And in the
per 215 card.
And medical then it's marijuana. Just like the police is just lenient on it. Or?
Well, it's so decriminalized now that you know if you have a 215 card. You allow this many ounces on your person,
yeah.
And then you can grow up there. You can grow 99 plants legally with a medical marijuana 215 card.
Oh shit!
Yeah. So you think
who's gonna count?
Who's gonna count? And the way they get away with it, say we all got 215 cards, and we got a friend who grows, then he gets all of our 215 cards. So now he can grow four times.
99.
Because now he's growing for us too. So you plaster our 215 card on the wall. So now I got 99 plants. Walt got 99 plants. Fonzo, you got 99 plants.
Where am I going?
But who's counting even then, right? It's just going to be a lot. So you can have a lot.
It's going to be a lot. Yeah. But they do count because they want you to be in compliance. So, yeah. And some people don't. You know, they grow it to sell it.
So, I'm sorry. So after that, after your Humboldt stuff and all that weed stuff is like, do you know people in Humboldt that never smoked it? Seriously, because
you know what? Honestly,
yeah, the ones in the cemetery.
You know what? Honestly, I thought that some people didn't because they were so influential and you know they were parents. When we come to realize, the parents were smoking too. Of the parents were smoking. You know, so. It's like it's one of the things, you know. You got a lot of veterans up there. You got a lot of transients, a lot of hippies.
It's crazy.
It's a different world. It's a different world.
20 years, you said, huh?
21 years. Dang. In Humboldt County, ties. Just
aside from learning about weed and the weed culture, which is very prevalent,
and becoming a Hall of Famer,
a Hall of Famer. You tell us about what you did after college. Was there any thought in your head when you finished college? Was it like, okay, I had a really successful athletic career, or did you know you were going HOF?
I thought I was going to the NFL first.
Damn. What led you to believe that? The combine?
I went to the NFL combine. I was the only player in Humboldt State history, I believe, that went to the NFL combine.
Nice.
Wow.
So, you know, I went there because as a fullback, I had good numbers. You know, I had 828 yards rushing and 487 yards receiving as a fullback. That's a lot, you know. So I went to the NFL combine and I thought I was going I thought I was going to get drafted, you know. So
what year is that? 92 that was 93.
92. That was 93.
93. Who was in that class?
Man, it was a lot of people, man. A lot of juniors.
Who'd you see?
You had Reggie Brooks from Notre Dame.
Number 40, Notre Dame, yeah.
Notre Dame. You had Jerome Bettis, Notre Dame.
Reggie Brooks that year averaged 7 yards a carry.
Yeah. And him and
Jerome Bettis,
they both had like 1,000-yard seasons.
They did, yep.
For Notre Dame. So they were good. And you had Quadri Ismail. You had Billy Joe Hobart, Mark Brunell, both quarterbacks for Washington, who both ended up getting drafted. You know, it's the list goes on and on. Garrison Hurst.
From Georgia?
From Georgia, yeah. From Georgia. You had people not even working out who were getting drafted.
Just showing up.
So I'm like, here I am. I'm like, man, I'm from Humboldt State Division II. I got to do everything possible to even get seen.
Yeah.
So after I get off the bench press, I rep 225 15 times. I thought that was good, you know, because I was playing basketball.
Oh.
I was playing, so you know, I'm in my basketball shape, you know, so I'm not football shape or anything like that. And I do 225 15 times. So as soon as I get off the bench press, a scout for Dallas Cowboys come up and say, how would you like to be a Cowboy? I was like, I love it. I would love it. Fill out this questionnaire and put it back underneath my door at the end of the day. Man, I had that thing filled out in like 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, baby.
But
I talked to other players like Derek Brown. He got drafted by the Saints, but he left school 2 months prior to the NFL Combine just to work out.
Yeah.
He dropped everything.
Yeah.
Just to work out for the NFL Combine. And here I am playing basketball. I'm thinking I'm in shape. I'm air prepared for the combine. I go in basketball shoes. I'm running the 40 in basketball shoes. It's like, come on, man.
Come on grass because they didn't have that rubber turf back in the day.
It was in the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm thinking I'm doing good. You know, after I get off the bench, Dallas like, hey, how would you like to become a Cowboy? I was like, I love it, man. So, you know, later on down the road, you know, because – All the while, you know, people were saying, oh, you're going to get drafted. You had a great season, this, that, and the other. So they pumping me up, right? They pumped me. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get drafted. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to Dallas.
Yeah.
So.
Wear that star, baby. Wear that star.
After the draft, nothing happens. I don't get drafted. So I'm sitting in my apartment. I'm just like, man, this is depressing. Depressing. So, you know, I went underneath my little rock and, you know, hid there for a little while. Didn't want to talk to anybody because they all asked the same questions.
Did you get drafted?
Yes. So you got to hear that 1,000 times a day.
Oh,
it's like, man, I'm tired of hearing the same story, you know, or the same question, not the story, same question. So I just, you know, I didn't get drafted. And I stopped talking to people. You know, I just like, I don't want to talk to people. Because that's the only thing they're going to ask me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why come you didn't get drafted? Fuck, I don't know. Ask them, man.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out, too. And then, you know, a few weeks after, my agent, you know, he was talking to Dallas. He didn't tell me because my brother told me that I had a contract with Dallas. And I hung up with my brother and was like, let me call him and I'll call you back. And I called him up. His name was Peter Flack. He was on the East Coast. I was like, hey, Peter, what's going on? He's like, we're talking numbers with Dallas right now. And mind you, I'm a Division II player. You know, I'm talking about you got juniors who left D1 schools who are getting drafted. Who got drafted.
Deal. Yeah, yeah, it's a big show.
It's like, just get me in the door, man.
Get me on that field, right?
Yeah. I don't care if I'm on a practice squad. That's still $220,000 a year.
Yeah.
For me coming out of Division II school, that's good. So he tried to get more money. They backed out. And, you know, it's like, whatever. I fired him, sent him a letter, no longer need your services, and started doing stuff myself.
Man, that's crazy. But, you know, that didn't stop you from playing football.
It didn't. The summer of 94, I got all depressed because, you know, I signed a contract with Sacramento Gold Miners, CFL team, got released from them, you know, and I was, you know, like, man, I just let myself go. I let myself go. Literally let myself go. I get myself back in shape. I signed two contracts in 95. I signed one with the Birmingham Barracudas, who is the CFL team, and San Jose Sabercats, which is Arena League. So I went for more money and went to Birmingham. So I'm there for a month, made the team. They only took two, they called them superbacks. So they did everything. They blocked, they ran, they catch. So
they go on backs. Motions forward, or is that only a rebound? Everywhere. Is that in Canadian
Everywhere.
Football?
Canadian League football forward? Is fun. It's fun.
Is
I can move. Oh, yeah. I can move in the backfield and not be offside. I can walk up in the hole where I see a linebacker blitzing.
Yeah.
And be good.
That's awesome.
It was good, you know? It was good, man. I see you sneaking up here, dog. Come on, man. I'm going to walk right up here in the hole, right here waiting for you. And it was good. It was legal. And I was there for a month. I mean, I beat out – we had like eight superbacks in camp, and I beat them all out except for this one guy, Willie McClendon. He played for Florida. He was behind Emmitt Smith, you know?
Gotcha.
So he played behind him. So – you know, he traveled. I stayed home because they only took one. And after a month there, you know, I ended up getting released, come back to California for 1 week. Then I go to San Jose and play for the Sabercats for a few years. So, I mean, I was.
What? Is there a team in Canada called the Mustangs? There is.
There is. Calgary.
You know what?
Red and white.
I had
Doug Flutie.
I had a cousin from Alabama. And mm-hmm. he would always say, what, Fonzo?
A barracuda go faster than a Mustang.
Swear to God, he's from Montgomery. Montgomery, Alabama. Do I have
funny.
A cousin from there? I don't know. But we spread like wildfire. But when he came to visit us and live with my family, that's all he would say, right?
A barracuda go faster. Barracuda.
And now I know why. They had you on the backfield.
Yeah.
They had you
I was
super
in there,
back.
Man. Super back. And I beat out Icky Woods.
What? No way.
Yes.
Icky Woods.
Icky Woods.
And what'd he say? You might beat me, but I can dance better than you.
Funny story about Icky, though, man. He was selling meat door to door.
He was?
Selling meat door to door. Icky Woods.
His meat?
His meat?
Yeah. 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 Like, you know, Ranchers Reserve, stuff
Icky
like
shovel?
That. You know?
Icky Shovel?
He was selling that, and then they called him in. I don't know why, but they did. You know, he's a big dude. He's like 2'6".
Yeah,
I was like 2'6". I'm all the He was like 6'2", about, you know, 260, 270.
This was after Cincinnati or before Cincinnati?
This was after Cincinnati.
Yeah, okay.
After Cincinnati. So he comes into camp. And, you know, he's cool. He's down to earth, real mellow. You know, he had the knee problem, knee surgery and all that. So one day in practice, you know, a big hose opened up and he runs through and he made a cut and he fell. No one touched him. The grass was dry. And, you know, we were watching films, and, you know, we laughed at him because no one touched him. It was like, Icky, why you fall? It's like, fuck you, bitches. Don't be laughing at me.
He got hurt.
It was like, who hit you, a ghost? Something. I mean, you know, sniper, watch out. You know?
Yeah.
But it was fun. Icky was a cool dude, man. He was cool.
Hey, well, that's rad to just even like be a part of that, man.
Oh yeah, man. You know, he had a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. You know, he tried to pass on to us, and you know, it was good.
It was Birmingham's loss to cut you though, man, because they only lasted that year and that was gone.
That was it.
That was
the 1 year. All the teams in the U.S. folded and went back to Canada.
Yeah,
it was crazy. It was crazy. You know, I guess it just wasn't enough of a following. But yeah, Birmingham did me dirty.
They did.
Because Willie McClendon got hurt when they were playing Edmonton and up in Canada. So they picked up another super back that played under their system at the University of Houston.
Oh.
So they picked him up on the road. And it's crazy how they can do it. So if we show up to play each other, you're on the other team, I get hurt, they can pick you up. How would you like to come play with us?
Like Sunday
just like that, like bam, just trade. Like, I mean, within a day, it was like our super back's hurt. We need you. Okay, bam, he's on the team.
He's like, he's just wearing a new jersey and same bottoms and stuff.
It's
halftime.
It's crazy how the CFL operated, man.
Because it's a business,
seriously,
right?
It's
a business, and you know, like you think of the NFL or the NBA, like. there's still leagues. They're no different than, I mean, it's a lot of money and everything that goes on, but like, I mean, they still do some Bush League. There's always Bush League antics.
There's some antics in there. I was like, wow. I watched them cut a cast off a guy's leg. When he was broke, he got cut. They didn't need him. Just cut the cast off. It's like, all right, wheelchaired him out. Oh, we need the wheelchair too.
What is the extent? Because, you know, guys are trying to make it to the big show. And for some of the guys, that is the big show. What is the extent where you saw dudes play through injury? What was the worst injury you saw a guy play through?
Well, broken wrists, broken hands, the fingers, you know.
Tape them up? All that
stuff. Yeah, tape them up because it's a business. It's happening today. You know, you see those dudes with them cast on. Hey, they out there making that money.
Break?
Let's take a break right now.
To back, no batteries included and no strings attached, no holes barred, no time for move faking, got to get to loose so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So
I want to talk we got a little bit of time left, but I want to talk about, how do I go about becoming a junior officer for CSU Long Beach Police?
Only thing you have to do is see me out on the street patrolling. Hey, I get you a sticker any day.
Yeah.
You can be a junior police officer anytime you like.
I fucking love this sticker. This is I happen to be Officer 911. Which one do you happen to be?
Same
one. 911. One more time. 911 one more time.
Flavor Flav. Get up. Get down.
Dude,
hold it up,
Walter. I bet that came out in 92 as well. No.
There you go.
No.
Oh, man, that was the stuff, man. Chuck D, all of those.
Okay,
man.
So I'm a junior officer, which makes you a for real officer nowadays.
Right. That's right, man.
You're a for real officer.
For real, man.
Like, you got that, like, you're
don't
so.
Don't hate me, folks.
You so for real, you got that little, like, the club that's like with it, like the old cell phone antenna. Remember the old cell phone antenna? Oh, y'all fools want to mess around? Nope, I'm straight. I saw you pull that cell phone antenna Billy club.
Man, that thing is hard too. You got to bang that against the concrete to close it.
Hey, you're a for real officer.
I am.
And you used to do
the 5-0 po-po one time, whatever you want
to
call it.
You used to do the beat at Humboldt, and now you do the beat at CSULB.
Yes. Yes.
I know you got stories.
Humboldt, man. Humboldt was funny because, you know, everything revolved around weed. So me and my sergeant, you know, we patrolled the woods because our campus butted up against the forest. So me and one of my sergeants, we're walking through the woods trying to find dope smokers, stuff like, you know, smoking weed. So we're walking up this trail and we hear people talking and choking. But we don't know where they're coming from.
All right.
So, you know, in Humboldt County, they got big redwood trees, you know, in the forest. Trunks bigger than this room.
Yeah.
So we're looking. It's like, where are these people coming from? And then we see this hole on the walkway. It's a little hole in the ground. It's probably like 2 feet, a 2-foot hole in the ground on the trail. Like 2x2. So, sure as shit, that's where they are. They're underneath a tree stump that's been dug out.
Smoking weed.
Dug out, smoking weed.
It's a hole so in the wall.
Automatically, my sergeant start laughing because he know me and I know him and we're going to do something real stupid. So, we're, you know, I gather my wits, I get down on my knees and poke my head in the hole, and this dude just smoking away. So I yell at him, what y'all doing? I got y'all. Come out, bring all your weed, bring everything with you. We got y'all. They jump, man. They crawled out that. Right, they looked like a little foxhole. They crawled out this hole, and you know, we was like, all right, man, you know, we took they had a little bit of weed left, took their pipe and all that. And it's like, all right, man, get out of here. You know, then we go to this another spot. There's like 10 people smoking. There's 10 Wait, people smoking.
Another hole, like in the ground?
Yeah, no, it's at a stump now. It's at a tree that fell. You know, they're sitting out on a stump out in the, out in the wilderness they smoking weed. So we stumble on them. There's 10 people. So after we get done talking to them, we go back. There's 4 more people in the damn hole smoking weed.
A different group?
A different group.
It's their time now or what?
Different time. It's within 30 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Within 30 minutes, we contacted 18 people smoking weed. That's how bad it was.
Damn.
But
was that a Tuesday?
Nah, man. You know what? I think it was a weekday. But it doesn't matter what day of the week it is.
It was always like that. Always Humboldt like that, County. Man.
But, you know, it was crazy. Another story, you know, dealing with mountain lions.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, weed problem ain't enough. Now you got to find people that got to, like.
Mountain lions.
Mountain lions and weed.
Mountain lions and weed. You know, hey, if you stone, you're going to get eaten out in the forest. So that's believe it or not, that's what we used to tell people. You know, so I'm working graveyard shift, and we get a call from one of the dorms that, you know, like I said, we butt up against the forest. We get a call about someone hearing a mountain lion crying or yelling or, you know, doing something nearby one of the res halls. So we go up there, you know, we got I got my AR-15 out, my sergeant got his shotgun, and, you know, we got our flashlights, and we strolling through the forest looking for this mountain lion. Thank God we didn't find it because we probably would have shot it, whatever, and all the activists would have been on us. Why are you shooting mountain lions? We're dwelling on their habitat and this, that, and, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah, you got to have those kind of people around. So it's nothing wrong with that, but if it's between my life and the mountain lion's life, come on. I mean, I'm going home to my family at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't find it. The next week, we get another call about a mountain lion sighting. And sure as shit, we see the mountain lion standing in the middle of the road with a raccoon in his mouth.
And now you're the one screaming?
Like,
now,
for yeah, real, yeah. Like a mountain lion, like a raccoon in his mouth.
Yeah, like I just killed this. Don't mess with me. I'm about to get my grub on. You know? So
raccoon is back.
Yeah. So we dropped the raccoon, took off. And as we're leaving, there's some college student walking up a trail. You know, it's pitch dark. And he's walking right where the mountain lion took off. So we tell him, he's like, oh, you know, hey, I'm okay. I'll be all right. Like, we're just letting you know. We can escort you up this road or you can walk by yourself. He chose to walk by himself.
Oh, my God.
I think he was okay because we didn't hear anything about that, you know. So a few days later, 4 o'clock in the morning, kids are walking through the parking lot and they see a mountain lion. And it's right outside the building that we park our cars in. To go to work. So I get my patrol car. I drive to a different location that overlooks the parking lot where we park. And, yeah, there's that mountain lion. It's just sitting there, just walking. So I get out, and the mountain lion is walking along the chain link fence that's like 3 feet tall. And I'm on the other
side.
That's
going to keep people back.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Hey, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning. The only people up at that time were dope heads. But,
and mountain lions.
Yeah, mountain lions looking for food. So the chain link fence is dividing us. I'm walking. Like, literally, I can reach through the fence and touch this mountain lion.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, I'm already at level 3. You know, I'm scared. If that thing would have growled or made any, I probably would have shot him. That's how scared I was. I probably would have shot him.
Yeah.
So
good that you didn't look like a raccoon, huh?
Oh, man. You know, hey.
Glad you didn't have those looks that you got.
Really,
on
yeah, man. These gangster right here, man. Hey, these gangster right here. I like these. But yeah, the mountain lion. He walked to an area where I could look down on him. It was grooming itself. Like, I wasn't even there. And that's even scary. When a wild animal that kills people, animals, is just grooming itself, like, he ain't even there. hey, something's wrong, man. Either it's already ate something or it's about to eat something. Yeah. So,
oh, God.
So luckily it walked away, and the next morning a groundskeeper saw these two little green eyes looking at him from underneath one of the houses on campus. And so it was a mountain lion. It's still in the area.
Shit.
So it just went to sleep.
I think he's a student now. No one's
caught it?
No, they didn't catch. They didn't. What happened was that night, it walked towards the city of Arcata's property. So I'm like, hey, it's off my hands. I'm good. You know, I let Arcata Police Department know where it went, the direction, and they, you know, it was like, we'll come out and look. You know, but they couldn't find it. Lo and behold, it was underneath the house that the university owned. And the next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, the groundskeeper saw it because he saw these two little green eyes looking at him.
Oh!
So they called the warden out, the fish and game warden. They tranquilized it. They took it about 2 hours east and let it go in the forest. So,
it was just trying to get its education, man.
I'm trying to get something.
Man, why are you trying to hate? Why are you trying to hate? He's trying to learn.
I'm just trying to get some education.
It's funny that we have you on the show, and on the weekend I saw this show called Campus PD.
Oh man,
on G4.
What campus was that they had it on?
Man, I think it was in the south somewhere.
Okay,
it was in the south somewhere, and I only saw like a few minutes of it, and there was this girl that took off on the cops
because
she was carrying a open container, and she was a minor. So she just took off running, right? So the police officer gave chase and caught her, brought her back. And then she's like, look, if you would have just came back and not ran from me, I would have just thrown the stuff away. You would have been cool. But you had to run. And she had a closed container in her purse.
Underage.
So now she took her in and she was all crying. And then the mom, it was weird because the mom called right afterwards. So the police officers talking to the mom say, oh, come pick up your daughter.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't want her just be let go and get a ticket and be left in the city. Come pick her up. You know, I caught her. If she would have just not ran, it would have been in citation. We would have just taken care of it, blah, blah, blah. Right. You know, it would have been cool. No big deal. But now she ran from me. So she's obstructing and all kinds of other stuff.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, don't run from the cops.
No, don't. People, they get in their mind. Like,
how are you going to get away? Like, how far are you in the south? Mexico's a long ways away.
You're run into the Ozarks
Cuba,
or something?
Cuba, the Ozarks. You get lost in the Ozarks. So, all right. You're in college. Or maybe you're brand new to college.
Yeah.
What are the kind of things you shouldn't do to piss off the cops?
First and foremost is lie.
Straight up, like
straight
just
up lie. It's
so just, telling the truth will change your mind
a
little bit. Yeah,
telling
you
the
just
truth,
don't want to be disrespected. You know, is that what it is? Or
yeah, it's like, come on, man. It's not my first rodeo.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've heard the same
Everybody's
story
human.
Over and over and over again.
And you,
it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Well, who was it? Because you smell like weed. You smell like alcohol. Who? You got puke on your body. Who was it? I was like, come on. You can't. I mean, I used to tell people this all the time when they lied to me. You might as well piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. It was like, well, I don't want to pee on your leg. I was like, well, tell me it's raining. Something. Because I know you're the corporate. I know you did it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to ask you this again. And please tell me the truth, man. Because if you don't tell me the truth, you're going to jail. It's like, yeah, I did it. It's like, why are you lying?
All
I didn't want to get in
all
trouble.
All wasting everyone's time.
Yeah. It's like, why can't you just tell the truth to first? I didn't want to get in trouble. Am I talking to you right now? Yeah. Well, you in trouble. Come on. Figure it out, man. Figure it out. Come
Good
on.
Good points.
Common sense. That's what I tell these. It's like, if they had any bit of common sense, that'd be good.
Yeah, the girl was like, you know, we know you're in a college environment. We know you're going to drink. You know, it's like, it's going to happen. Just do it smart. Just do it somewhere where we don't see you. Don't be walking around with a container, an open container.
Right.
Outside where I can actually see you. You know, just do it somewhere where I can't see you at all. And
this so ain't Vegas.
How about that saying, like, nothing.
And you're underage.
Nothing good happens after midnight. Is that true?
Nothing good. Man, I say about. Nothing good happens after like 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Nothing good happens when you take out money after 8 o'clock.
After 8 o'clock.
Like if you go nothing to ATM good. After 8 o'clock, it's you're not doing night. Nothing good.
Yeah, where you woke up at 6 p.m.
Yeah, it's a bad night. How many beers you had to drink? Two. Come on, man. Come on.
All right. Come all on. Right.
Two beers.
That's cool.
Is that it? Just that's two. Cool. It's like, okay. Yeah, it's a lot of stories, though, man.
There's too many. We're going to have too you many. Back, part deuce.
Oh, man, I'd love to come back.
Well, Ronnie, man, you are HOF Humboldt. You went around the horn in the Canadian Football League without even stepping foot in Yay Canada. But you know you're what? Right. But you know what, man? That's a piece of history, and if any part... Oh, yeah. That's awesome to be a part of. But you know what? We're more than happy. At least I am more than happy that you're a resident of the LBC, man. Yeah, you are in LBC, and I'm just happy that like you're my neighbor. But Ronnie, man, thanks again. Thank you for being a part of the show. Fonzo.
Great times, dude.
Show
awesome.
Number 20 in the books. 20. No better way to have an incredible guest on our show for show number 20. Oh, you know, we're running out of time with our first year one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think we can sneak in one more episode April 20th at 420. Uh-oh. 420. Rodney, there's we're going to be a humble. We're going to do a humble show out there.
Hey, it's either the humble show or Easter. Which one you want to celebrate?
I'm going to go with year day, one, man. Walter and Fon show. So we got one more show. Fonzo, anything before we sign off?
No, nothing. I'm good. Sorry.
Well, all right. No, it's been a great show. I'd like to thank everyone who continues to listen and keep plugging into our Facebook page, Walter Fon's Show on the Facebook, Amazing Fon's on the Instagram. Rodney Diggerson, yes, HOF, Decker 2013. You got the Humboldt State Discus and the Shot Put and just pretty much badass. No. Thanks for being a guest.
Oh, thank you, man. It was my pleasure to be here. I like to do it again.
Yeah, we're going to get you again. All right, you guys. We'll have a great night, and we'll see you next time.